you for downloading this podcast from Sound of Science. Lionel is a VW campervan, but inspired by the words and works of Carl Sagan, Lionel is the spaceship of our imagination. He likes to take people to the edge of the known universe, but before they go, we like to chat to them about music, life and science while we share a delicious pudding. This is Dessert Lionel Discs.
Lionel's passenger today doesn't need a spaceship of the imagination. It's astronaut Alan Bean.
Okay, I'm Alan Bean. Used to be Captain Alan Bean. I flew on Apollo 12, Skylab 3, and fourth man to walk on the moon. And that's about it. I'm an artist now, so I spend most of my time painting the experiences I had or fellow astronauts had on the moon.
We were joined by Kate Arkless-Gray, as you may know, a Space Kate, a lady determined to get into space herself.
So the question I would really like to ask you is, given that the photographs that we see of the moon, even the colour photographs look like they're black and white, and yet when I look at your pictures, they're so full of colour, how is it that you're translating what you saw on the moon and adding in your experiences to come up with the art that you produce now?
Well, that's what an artist does. And they're supposed to take the raw material that they see in nature, maybe, or in their imagination, and then do something with it to make it like they wish it were, or it could have been, or whatever they think. So when I first left NASA, when my heart was more of a scientist, astronaut, my first paintings were fairly color-related. They were gray. Maybe after a year or two, I could make them slightly green or slightly yellow. And as time passed and I became more of an artist in my heart, then I could do whatever I felt would be more interesting to look at, both for me and maybe anyone that looked at the paintings. So now that's how I think about it. And so when I'm planning a painting, I usually am telling a story that I want to be remembered long after we're gone. And then I build little models so that I can get the lighting and everything right. And then when I start to paint them, I think about what colors I think might be good in this painting for some reason. And then I try to paint it that way. And then I have to make sure that I think it looks right. And if it does, then I just hope other people like it too. So that's what artists do. We've never seen a pond of water lilies that looked as good as Monet's water lilies. It just isn't, they just don't. Artists do something different. We've never seen, for example, to stick with Monet, I went to look at the Rouen Cathedral. It's a gray granite building. It's gray, and the sun rises all through the day till the sun sets. But he painted it all the colors that he could think of that he liked. And we like those paintings much better, believe me, than standing in front of the Rouen Cathedral and looking at it when it looks like a gray church.
Obviously, I'll have to wait until I get to the moon myself to really see how your pictures compare to the real thing, like you did with Monet's cathedral.
Yes, you will. You will.
Fingers crossed one day.
Okay.
I've heard you say before that one of the best things about being an artist is that it gives you a freedom that you don't get as a pilot of a spacecraft. And I wondered, if you could have that kind of freedom as a pilot of a spacecraft, what would you do with it? Where would you go?
My goodness. I guess you'd have to say where you've not been before.
Yeah.
So that has appeal. It'd be good to go into space and go back to the moon. But if the competition was between going to the moon and Mars, I would immediately say, let's go to Mars. We haven't been there.
Yeah.
And if we had been, and then they said, well, we can go there, let's try a moon of Jupiter, I'd say, well, let's go that place and let's see what's there. So
definitely.
That would be the way I think. I know that's how I think, and I think most astronauts feel that way.
Absolutely.
So someday there will be a discussion about it. I think we'll end up going back to the moon because it's a lot cheaper. And that's, money is always a problem, all the time. So it's never going to be a time in the future where people can say, well, I'll spend this amount, $200 billion, to go to the moon, or am I going to spend $800 billion to go to Mars? So it's always going to be like that. But I would say save money and go to Mars.
Those rocks have been waiting 4.5 billion years for us to come grab them. Think so, huh? Let's go grab them.
Stand by, Intrepid. We'll be right with you.
Okay. EFI, you guys ought to be spring-loaded.
Intrepid, you're go for EVA.
Hi there, how are you?
Hello, yeah, I'm fine, thank you. It's a great honor to meet you.
Thank you. Nice
I'm working
to be
on
here.
on the samples that you brought back from the moon. Yeah, so I'm working on Apollo 12 samples for my PhD at the moment.
Good.
So this makes it a really, really special honor for me.
It does. It's
and,
great.
Yeah, so I was just wondering whether you were aware that there are so many of us who are still working on the Apollo 12 samples that you brought back. And
not specifically, but I do know that scientists around the world are doing this and doing it on the others. And I assume that this will be going on forever as new scientific techniques come available that weren't, that you haven't, available to you. 20 years from now, some other young lady will be doing the same work, only with better equipment or new ideas or whatever. So I think, because we're still studying Earth rocks, so we'll
true,
be doing
yes.
the same thing for the moon. And I'm glad you are, though. I don't think I've ever met one. So this is a treat.
I've got some images of the samples that I'm working on. So
send it over here. Let's look at it.
Let's get some of this now, Dale. Okay. You've already got the pictures of this thing.
Yeah, at 15 feet. I'm just taking it close up.
Okay, go get it up. Just
look at this black rock here.
Okay, wait. Let me get close. Wait.
I got it.
I didn't take a picture.
But the feeling that when that crater was made, it just threw out a big blob of dirt. This is where it landed.
So these are some of the samples that I'm currently looking at.
Oh, you got some nice
small.
Ones. I use some of these color plans a lot, like particularly like green and purple, and well, there's red. Those are nice.
Yeah,
painting color. See,
yes,
I'm going to tell somebody.
Artist,
well,
so that's fantastic.
I'm going to say next time someone asks me a question like you did, I'm going to say, well, that's only in the what the eye can see. But if you will thin section them and look at them through who knows what.
Yeah, electron microprobe.
Yes, so. Why you'll see colors just like this.
Yeah.
That's true.
Color of the element maps,
These particularly I find very interesting colors. And what I'm doing these days, I've gone kind of as extreme as I like to go. And lately I've been trying to return to a more gray but subtle these colors.
Yes.
So it's these what artists do. They do what they like, what feels like it they should do. Mm-hmm. And that's the job. That's the job you have. It's not as I tell my astronaut friends, I'm not a scientist anymore. I'm an artist, so it's different. You do different things as you have a different job.
Can you not be both a scientist and an artist?
Sure you can be both. I am both, but then you have to then get a balance still. Or you could say, well, I'm going to treat it just like a scientist today, and I'll paint it gray and white suits and gray shadows. You can do that if you want. Some people would. It's just as valid as some other. In art, it's not science. You're trying to do what you believe would be the most interesting to you, because nobody else is there, and so you're doing and hoping other people like it too. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different point of view than science for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
And one rule of art is that I didn't catch on to it at first, is if it looks right, it is right. I can remember doing things and I would think, that doesn't look. It looks like the rover is a little bit big in the front and a little bit small in the rear. And then I'd check the perspective and everything and I'd say, that's right, and I'd leave it. I wouldn't do that now. I would take it and say, it looks a little bit big in the front, even though I know it's accurate. I always try to get that. Then I would make it a little bit shorter in the front, so it looked like I thought it should look.
Yeah.
And guys like Degas, even when they were doing later in their life, not at first, when they got more understanding, he would leave an arm or something on a ballet dancer that he put in there to begin with and decided he ought to change it. Instead of completely removing it, he would leave part of it there because he believed that that was part of the art, the fact that he had tried the art, the hand up here of the ballerina, and later he put it on her. So if you look at some of his late work, you'll see that they've got three arms or something.
But why these look so fresh? It must be just a difference in materials. Well, it sure does look fresh, doesn't it?
Thank you very much. Do you have those spare copies? I appreciate they're not as artistic as you could produce yourself, but you're very welcome to them anyway.
Well, thank you. No.
But they are the samples that you brought
they're,
back.
See,
so
they're science.
So
they're, yes, I can't change
science
this.
Science and art.
That's good. Well, let me just have one. That's
thank
good.
You. Thank
yeah,
you so
thank
much.
You for this.
Okay,
I'm
awesome.
Going to keep this and show it to people.
It was a great honor to meet you. Thank
all
you
all right.
Much.
Thanks for doing the work.
Yeah.
Good luck, too.
Thank you.
Is that another rock for you? Okay. Get right to the edge of this crater and photograph and get a pan in it, and we're going to come back this way. Look at that. That crater is spectacular. Wow, monster.
There's sometimes a bit of tension between artists and scientists. You know, the two worlds don't often cross as much as perhaps they
don't.
Should do.
They don't.
Did you have any kind of kickback or people looking down their noses at you when you decided to move away from science and become more artistic, I wonder?
Some did. Some asked me if he thought it was worth using my life up being an artist. That's right. Everyone has their own way of thinking about things and weighing what's good and what's bad. And that's why I believe it's so hard for people to hold on to their dreams in life. It's because what's important to them is not important to their dad, particularly. Some things, and a lot aren't. And same with their aunt and mother and girlfriend and sister and brother and friends. So it's very hard to hold on to your dreams because all these other people are measuring your dreams against what they think is right. And, of course, if you're in science, then certain things are right. If you're in engineering, certain things are right. But in art or literature or some of these other pursuits, then it's not that way. It's what do you think you would like to do? And you still can look at art and decide for yourself whether you think that's good art or not, whether it follows... because art has basic principles, just like engineering or science. They're just different principles. I've mentioned some of them to you here. Mm-hmm. So it didn't bother me, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that have given up art or writing because people didn't think it was good. You need to get a... I've met so many, it's almost a caricature, where their parents wanted them to get a real job, or
yeah.
We'll send you to school to be an artist, but we want you to have a real job too. And there's a lot of truth to that because you can't make money quick as an artist. That's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I always advise them, you go to college and get a business degree, something where you can get a good job and make an income where you can have a good family, and then you start studying art. If you do it the other way around, you're going to have a entry-level job with no money, and then you're going to try to do it. It's going to be tougher. I'm sure people have done it, but I don't recommend it. I meet so many young people that got an art degree, and they're in selling supplies to me in an art store at some small fee, you know, almost a McDonald's job, because there's a lot of them. It's not, you don't want to do that. That's a bad way to go. But if you do, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. You want to do it that way. Okay, no, okay, that's good. I tell them once, you know, I'll say, this is what I think. And they, I get, some of them might listen. Others I can see they don't like that. And then they might say, well, I've already made up my mind. I say, that's good. I hope you can, you know, do good there. It's a good school. You'll learn a lot. I shut up. They want to go for it. You know, it's just my opinion the other way.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, ignition. 3, 2, 1, 0, liftoff.
Watch the liftoff.
Pitch and a roll program, and this baby is really going.
Man, is it?
20 seconds. That's a lovely liftoff. That's not bad at all. Everything's looking great. Sky's getting lighter.
Okay.
30 seconds. Looks good.
Roll safely. Move.
200 feet. The hell was that? I lost a whole bunch of stuff.
I don't know. Buses. Mark 1 Bravo.
Roger, we had a whole bunch of buses drop off. There's nothing. It's nothing. I think it's... What we got?
It's a lot more difficult to do hard work day after day than it is to go to the moon. Going to the moon requires skill and that sort of thing, but it's like a trip to Paris and back. You're home in 10 days or 12 days, and you've had a good time. You've done something new every day. That's the way it seems to work. But you go up, and like now, my hats are off to the people up in the International Space Station, because they go up there for 6 months. And really, that 6 months, they're working as hard as they can. It's great, but it's a lot more difficult to be a great astronaut for 6 months than it is for 10 days, period.
I was just wondering about things that you had taken, personal effects that you might have taken to the moon, and anything you might have left there.
Well, I'll tell you an interesting story about the painting I'm just finishing up. I got on the, when they started assigning people to Apollo and Skylab, they assigned me to Skylab. I wanted to be on Apollo, but I was sent to Skylab. And then Pete Conrad had a crew that was Pete Conrad, Dick Gordon, and a fellow by the, a Marine by the name of C.C. Williams. And so they went along in training for a while, and I went along over on Skylab for a while, and then C.C. Williams got killed in an airplane crash. And so then Pete requested that they, you know, Deke come over and get me from Skylab and put him on his crew, which I thought was a great idea, even though I had never thought it would happen. It wasn't something I thought would happen. But anyway, it did. And so when we made up our patch, our Apollo 12 patch, we put 4 stars up in the sky. And then when we went to the moon, then we took one of those patches, and then I had asked C.C. Williams' wife, widow, for his wings that he earned as a Marine pilot, and we took those to the moon. And then right at the end of our EVA, we, Pete and I, went over near Surveyor Crater, and we put his wings down in an Apollo 12 patch near there. And then in the painting that I'm just finishing up, I'm leaning over and put, you know, kind of tossing them down. And then Pete's standing over to my left where you are, and he's saluting. And then I've stepped back, not in the painting, but then I stepped back and saluted. And we left those there. And so my guess is that the wings are there perfect as the day that I left them, and will be for millions of years. They'll be beautiful gold pilot wings. And the patch, I wondered, I think with that ultraviolet rays coming in from the sun a lot, maybe it's faded. I don't really know, but I'm guessing it's faded. It'll be there as cloth, but it won't last.
25. 27. 32. Got a clock running over there?
Yeah.
Hang on.
41. Come on, there it is.
That's it.
Staging.
Hang on.
Okay, GDC is good. Got a good attitude, gang.
Can we copy, Pete? You're looking good.
Temperature's okay.
We're okay. Now we're figuring out our problems here. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure we can get hit by lightning.
Your thrust is looking good, Pete.
Okay, I have a good GDC, and Al has got the fuel cells back on, and we'll be working on our AC buses.
Right, Pete, your fuel cells look good down here.
I think we need to do a little more all-weather testing.
Amen.
And I took a lot of things for friends. One of my friends, who was kind of smart, gave me a locket that his wife could have, and in the locket you opened it up and there was a picture of all their family. Each had a number of things like that. So his comment was, and her, was, I was taking their family to the moon. So that was a clever idea. And I took a lot of things like that. People would ask, you know, and I would say, I didn't have time to think about all this. You're busy trying to learn to fly to the moon and back correctly. Stay alive. That's on your mind. The rest is, if I can do it, I'll do it. And so we did. And the curious thing about it is a lot of the things I had no idea. You know, they said, would you take it? I said, yes. I never saw it again, probably. Don't know what it was and didn't think about it at all. So I get back from the flight. And then I've got all this stuff, they, you know, and the kids, I look at it, and then people would come up and say, well, Alan, did you bring back the locket? Yeah. Well, sure, here it is. I ended up with about four or five different things that I took for somebody that I still have in a safe deposit box, because I have no idea who the heck they look for, yeah. Or even if they ask me, and I've often laughed about it. There's somebody, five people out there saying, yeah, that guy took it to the moon and never gave it back. Well, yeah, but I didn't. I still got them. Yeah. So if they ever would show up and tell me what it is, I would go to my safety deposit box and find it, yeah, and give it to them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of part of it, too. You don't have time to think about these things.
No.
You got to learn the things that are life and death. You've got to find a way to get there and back alive. And that's on your mind. And anything else is just extra. And you do it if you can. But you don't think about it. You don't have it on your mind. I had it, none of that on my mind. I didn't have art on my mind. Right. If I had, I would have taken a nice sheet of watercolor paper about this size and two or three acrylic brushes. The night I had time to do it, night I would have lifted the shade there on the limb and done a little sketch. First art ever done on the moon. It would be great. Never thought of it.
Well,
never thought of it.
We have to go
back. Didn't think of any of it in Skylab either. You get involved in these things, and you, I'm a single-minded person, and so I kind of do things, and I'm not a multitask person.
Okay.
When I'm here, I'm thinking about giving good speeches. I don't think about art, but I will be when I get on that plane going home.
Okay.
Because I'll be thinking about it.
We're very glad you're here. We're very much looking forward to your speech, and we're very glad that you got to the moon and back.
All right.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you. Me too. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Many years ago, the great British explorer George Mallory, who was to die on Mount Everest, was asked, why did he want to climb it? He said, because it is there. Well, space is there, and we're going to climb it. And the moon and the planets are there.
You're looking good.
And new hopes for knowledge and peace are there.
130 feet, 124 feet, Pete. 120 feet coming down at 6. You got 9%, 8%. You're looking okay. 96 feet coming down at 6. Slow down the descent rate. 80 feet, coming down at 4, you're looking good. 70 feet, looking real good. 63 feet, 60 feet, coming down at 3. 50 feet, coming down. Watch for the dust. 46.
Low level.
42 feet, coming down at 3. Coming down at 2, okay. Start the clock. 42 feet coming down at 2. 40 coming down at 2. Looking good. Watch the left. 31, 32, 30 feet. Coming down at 2 feet. You got plenty of gas. Plenty of gas, dude. Hang in there.
30 seconds.
18 feet coming down at 2. He's got it made. Come on in there. 24 feet. Contact light.
Roger. Copy contact.
Rock. Pro. Yeah, pro. Okay. Inform off.
Okay.
I'm cycling spouts. You got your sending command override off.
Yep.
Okay, don't you cycle the main shutoff valve?
Okay.
Front seat closed. You get both brakes closed, Dave.
The brakes are closed.
Good landing. Pete, outstanding.
Man,
after I'm on, beautiful.